This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 258, I say uncertain of myself, of What Did You Watch This Week. My name is Mike.
Oh, be certain of yourself, Mike. It is 258.
All right. So how's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good. As we were talking about earlier, I got my first dose of the vaccine yesterday.
Hail to the air.
I'm excited. So,
nice.
You know, the way that mine works is... I went through the Civic Center, so they said in 2 weeks they will send me a letter that gives me my follow-up appointment, and I will go back there. It was really nice. You know, it wasn't dirty at all. It was just so well organized and zoomed me right in, got it, back out.
Nice.
Whole thing took like 20 minutes, and that includes the 15-minute mandatory observation period at the end when they're like, just sit there for 15 minutes so that we know that you don't grow another head or something. And, then they call your name and you leave. So, yeah, about 20 minutes for the whole thing. It was great.
Yeah, my wife goes Saturday for hers. But when we set hers up, she got her first and second appointments on the same day. Like, they told, like, she goes Saturday and then she goes May 1st.
Yep. My girlfriend was the same way, Julia.
Yeah, well, going the same place.
Yep. So, hers is this Thursday and then April 29th. It's so awesome that that things are moving forward like this. And to think that, you know... in a month and 2 weeks, we're going to be that much safer.
Well, Maine CDC announced today that international travel is no longer banned as far as if you can travel internationally, if the country allows you, that is, from Maine. And if you are a fully vaccinated person, as in you've had your both doses or your single dose, if it's the Janssen and Janssen, and you're 2 weeks post-vaccine, then you do not need to quarantine when you return.
Which is awesome.
Yep. They recommend 3 to 5 days after you return to get a test. But unless you're having symptoms, you don't need to quarantine. And also, if you are not vaccinated, though, then you all quarantining issues or follow. So
one of the unfortunate things is I just saw somebody online tonight. Somebody was doing a live TikTok and she said that she was up in Canada and that they had just heard that they were headed into a third round of lockdowns for Canada.
Yeah, I heard that as well. What was it? Australia just had another lockdown. I think the UK is looking like they're pending on another lockdown. So I don't know. I don't know if we're ignoring that here. Like we're getting
more vaccines than most of them are for one.
Yeah. Well, I think our country's making the vaccine. Yeah. So that probably is part of it. So,
and you know, I'm kind of bummed cause I was thinking, you know, hey, it'll be an opportunity to go to Canada in the not too distant future. I'm thinking probably in the fall we'll be safe.
Well, yeah, hopefully that's what I was hoping for. So,
but in the meantime, you know, things are going to start being possible once again in the coming months.
Yep. Yeah. So hopefully sooner than later, but with safety precautions, of course.
And that's the thing too. Like we're talking about, oh boy, it's exciting to be able to do this stuff. Neither one of us is going to be running out and being like, I'm going to the movie theater today.
Oh God, no, no. I can't wait for the drive-in to open up next month.
Oh, I know.
That's what I'm excited about.
I mean, that one that you linked me said that they were hoping to open in April. It's April now, so.
Oh, yes. Yep. Pride's Corner stated today, if as long as it doesn't all of a sudden start downpouring like horrifically in the next few weeks, they may actually be opened up at the end of April, which is they usually don't open till mid-May because of the grounds and everything and drying up. But we've had, you know, the snow disappeared pretty quick this year.
Yeah. And it's like I got a one of those things on my whatever it is, like Google Photos. And it was like, look, 5 years ago or whatever. And it was this day was snow everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last year on Easter, which I don't know what day it was last year, but last year on Easter, you know, for the egg hunt outside, the eggs were just on top of the crusty snow ice. So and this year it was grass. Yep.
Right.
So TV shows and stuff.
And stuff.
So This Is Us was not on.
Correct.
Zoe's Playlist was on.
Yes.
That was it was the opening of Mo and Max's restaurant, I guess, for that's what it is technically. They serve alcohol and people I didn't realize the theory was people were going to order food from other places, have it delivered there, and then they were going to plate it for them.
Yep.
And serve it to them. But that's what they're doing. In this episode, Zoe had a memory of her and her dad going to see like the Leonids or whatever it was, meteor shower when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't actually see, I can't think of the actor's name, the guy that plays her dad. Yeah, we see like a guy back too, but we do hear his voice. So they must have got him to like record his dialogue.
Maybe.
Or they got a sound alike, I guess. And so she's trying to go see it again, and it's not working out for her. She goes with a couple of the guys from work reluctantly, and then it's cloudy before she can see anything. And then she doesn't want to be a burden to her friends about her dead dad and on and on and on. And yeah, so in the end, of course, they all rally around her when she has kind of a breakdown. They all go look at the meteors together and live happily ever after.
Yeah. We got a little more on Leaf this week. He's started dating again after Joan and him broke up, and he's put himself back out there. And then this girl, like, she ghosted him because she was like, oh, my grandmother's sick, and disappeared. So Zoe's like, oh, give her another try, because she apparently came back and was like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, let's date again. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. And Zoe's like, oh, you should. And then she finds out, no, the only reason this girl wanted him was because he has an in at Spark Point and she wants a job as a diversity hire.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, she has no interest in him, just looking for a job.
We also had the fire marshal, played by Mac from S.H.I.E.L.D., with a ridiculous beard.
That was Mac?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I recognized his voice, but I did not recognize him.
It's the beard.
Whew, yeah, that was bad.
And he didn't have a fire axe shotgun in his hand, so.
That's true.
But, yeah, so he's apparently.
And he wasn't brooding.
Right, right. He was just stoic.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's going to be a possible love interest for Mo.
Seems like him.
Not a bad episode, but, you know, it. Oh, and don't forget, her brother is now having a midlife crisis because he quit his job and now he wants to be a musician. So the Australian boy next door who has the band of all young people, they let him play keyboard for one song. And he's like, okay, was this the audition? Am I in? And they're like, no, dude, you're old and you're a dad and we're young and we're just having fun.
Yeah, like, but then he comes
gigs.
Yeah. So he comes back and cuts a promo and says, I can get you gigs. Like, all right, you're in. So
nothing like a little self-interest to manipulate teenagers.
But it was a good episode. They had some great music in this one.
Yep. Yep. They did.
I had never heard of that song. Watermelon Sugar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't keep up with modern music. The only radio station I get on my clock radio in the office is ABK, which is used to be oldies, and now they call it Big ABK, and they play like mostly mid-70s to mid-90s music.
Which is still oldies.
Which is now oldies, which, fuck. But anyways, I also get some political radio.
It was 30 years ago.
I know. So anyways, but I'd never heard that song before, but my wife and I have been watching American Idol, and a bunch of the contestants sang it as their song for their Duet during the Duet Week last week, and I'd heard it a bunch that night. And I but then they sang it on Zoe. They had it on Zoe. I'm like, all right, well, I've heard enough of this song.
Yeah, it's got different incarnations of it. Like the one on Zoe's was more of a, you know, kind of an upbeat one. There's a really fast paced one that is more what I'm used to for it. And then there's like a very dulcet, relaxing version. But yeah, I was first introduced to that on TikTok because all it was playing was that chorus over and over again. And it would say Watermelon Sugar. And then the high part, somebody would pop up a little baby Yoda doll and have it wave its hand and go, hi. So it was friggin' great.
Okay, that does sound funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you ever watch the documentary The Last Blockbuster?
I did. I thought we talked about it last week.
Okay, I thought you did. All right, I thought you did. We did talk about it last week. Forgive me on that one.
No,
that's did you know that the Twitter The Last Blockbuster? Are you familiar with the Twitter feed or the Twitter handle or whatever?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That has nothing to do with The Last Blockbuster store.
Is it like the last Blockbuster movie kind of thing?
No. It's just some Twitter account that someone created and people just follow it and they post funny shit. But they asked her about it. She's like, yeah, that has nothing to do with us on the documentary. And I meant to mention that last week and I forgot. And I say that because a few hours ago, they posted this and I saw it and I want to mention it, which is holy shit. Some middle schoolers are about to fight in the parking lot. Get down here quick. Colleen's going to ref. I don't know. They just post funny stuff. You know, my favorite was don't come taking pictures with our sign and then leave and not come in the store and say hi.
Yeah. So that's just rude.
Yep. Exactly. Anyhow,
The Rookie was a show that was on.
Yeah, that's a show that they continue to air weekly that I like some weeks and dislike some weeks.
This week was definitely an off week for me.
Oh, this week was basically my two dads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
For West, at least.
Yeah, as West's dad and then the captain basically fight over what is best for West's future and what he should do, and they're going to arrange dinners for him and da 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 da. And in the end, he basically goes, hey, I'm going to go my own way, but I'll come to you guys for advice. And everyone was happy with that.
And it wasn't even the cool way, like with a Fleetwood Mac song playing in the background.
Nope. That's the first thing I thought of, too, when I just said it out loud.
And then Bradford, I love Bradford. Bradford is my favorite character on the show. We've talked about this multiple times. He's amazing.
Yeah.
This week was his weakest week. Because he ran into an old nemesis of
that was weak sauce.
Especially how he overreacted when he saw that his shop had been tagged, and he like basically called in a SWAT team. He's like, I need a perimeter and I need eyes in the sky and I need this and this and this. He's back. And you're thinking, oh, is this like some 3XK or something? Like, no, it's a tagger. Yeah. And when he was a rookie, he was supposed to watch the suspect's car while his TO took off on foot. So he said, I was in the military and we did exactly what we were told. So I never took my eyes off that car. And while he had his eyes on that car, this tagger came over and tagged his shop and he got ridden into the ground for it, written up and, you know, basically demeaned. And it's haunted him ever since. And then Three Eyes disappeared. Well, it turned out that Three Eyes got married. And now is going through a divorce, so went back to her old ways. That's right. I said her. It's a woman. And started tagging again.
Wanted to feel young again.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, I love Bradford, but this was like such a weak moment for him because he was overreacting to an embarrassment that had happened to him. The main story, of course, was a judge's son was kidnapped, and it was the age old. He kidnapped himself because his parents cut him off, and it went wrong when he told some other people about it. And they were like, cool, we're really going to kidnap you and demand more money.
Yeah. And even like, you know, and be stupidly, we're going to send a pint of blood to your parents, or is it a quart of blood? I don't know. Just take his blood, you know, like, Like, it really wasn't well thought out on the actual kidnapper's part.
We did get that guy brought back in. I can't remember his name off the top of my head now, but he's the prisoner that they've been dealing with a number of episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, off and on. The last time he had actually stabbed the lawyer guy there,
mm-hmm.
Diaz's fiance. And so she actually was like, yeah, I'd have a conflict of interest. He stabbed my fiance, so I can't interview him. Can you guys take care of this? We got to see him and his illegitimate daughter. And
who was who now?
Castle's daughter from her show.
Right. Isn't that cool as shit?
It is cool as shit. I really thought, too, also, and I've looked it up and I can't find confirmation of this, but I thought that Three Eyes was Beth from This Is Us. I don't think it really was, but I thought it was when she first was on the ground.
Yeah, I know. I saw you said that, but I didn't see it. I didn't see that. I didn't see it as being her.
And then Nolan missed a test in his ethics class because there was a hostage situation, armed hostage situation. He couldn't get away. And the teacher's like, well, I told you nobody makes up tests in my class, period. And so he asked her for some kind of forgiveness, and she basically posed an ethical question to him. And he spends, you know, the next day asking different people for their opinions and their thoughts, and then finally goes and gives her exactly the right answer, and she lets him make up the test.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise you.
No, it really doesn't.
So
overall, I mean, it's not a bad show. It was a weak
episode. It's a good show. Yes, it was a weak episode. The Young Rock, you know, I don't have a lot to say about it. It was an episode where he get to spend the day with Andre and learn how to appreciate different things and not judge a book by its cover based on actions and this and that. And I'm just going to say it's all right.
Yeah. The adult Rock introduced his running mate, who's played by Rosaria Dawson.
Yeah. Who's apparently a general who they don't see eye to eye, but you don't need to, we learn a lesson about different learning, accepting different people's point of view. So,
yep. And I wanted to ask you for the legitimacy of the Royal Rumble match at the end. Was that a thing?
Yeah, that happened.
Okay. So that was an interesting screw job take, you know, how she basically saw that he was meeting up with that promoter and she's like, well, fuck him. I'm going to screw him before he screws me. And
yep. And that's like, also a thing.
And he's like, yeah, I wasn't going to screw you. I took his boots. I love his whole thing, you know. Yeah. It took me hours to pick out the right shirt that would go with yellow leather cowboy boots. Yeah, not a bad show. I enjoy it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do too. But again, it's not the be-all, end-all type of thing. The Connors was good. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. I finished Paradise PD.
How was it?
It was definitely aware of itself being a fucked up show. Like, they made fun of themselves a lot, which was nice. Like I said, I got some good laughs out of it. I can't highly recommend it, though. I can't give it a hard sell.
I watched Law & Order this week, and I watched the first episode of Law & Order. Not Criminal Intent.
Organized
Crime. Yeah, with the return of Christopher Maloney as Stabler. And I thought it was great to see him on SVU. That's how they launched the show, backdoor pilot crossover type thing. And then we see him on his own show. It's not a Law and Order show. We don't have Law and Order. We have criminal procedural stuff. There was no trial in either episode to speak of. No court into cases. I love seeing Maloney back as Stabler, though. I enjoy the character. Did you watch it at all?
I did not. I knew that it was on, but I did not watch it.
So they, you know, spoiler alert, his wife dies. Like, that's how they basically get it.
No.
He left the force. I know. He left the force 12 years ago or something like that when he left SVU. Then about 10 years ago, he rejoined the force and no one knew, but he was the liaison for the NYPD in Italy. That's where he's been this whole time, working organized crime. And he came back to the States for a couple of things and for this ceremony that Liv was being honored at. So we came to attend that. And then his wife got someone tried to put a hit on Stabler and accidentally killed his wife instead. Mm. So it looks like he'll be sticking around to fuck people up.
Oh, I liked his wife. She has a great character.
Yep, I did too. But yeah, and they got the actress that played his wife in the original run to come back to, you know, be there for her death. So that was kind of good. But I enjoyed it. I'll keep watching it. It's not going to be a priority show for me. It's going to be when I have time show, because I have less and less time to watch stuff now with my my promotion, if you will.
Yeah, well, congrats again on that. But
thanks. Thank you very much.
But your TV watching is going to suffer.
It's really going to suffer. And especially this week, because it's WrestleMania week. So last night was Raw. Tonight is the Hall of Fame. Tomorrow night is NXT Night 1. Thursday, NXT Night 2. Friday, SmackDown. Saturday is WrestleMania Part 1. Sunday is WrestleMania Part 2. And that's just WWE. AEW had a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Impact has a show on Thursday, Ring of Honor on Tuesday, NWA on Tuesday, Limitless Wrestling on Wednesday. Impact has a pay-per-view on Saturday, and then on IWTV, there's approximately 12 independent shows that are going to be going on between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then there's on Fight TV, there's going to be another 12 to 15 shows going on between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It is absurd the amount of wrestling that's on this week, and I am nowhere near going to be able to watch all of it.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just listening to that.
Not even close. Like, as a wrestling nerd, in my heyday of, I'm not even out of my heyday of watching wrestling, but like when I was 20, like there was never this much wrestling on in a fucking 2 month period, much likely a 1 week period, you know? So
I can relate where gaming is my thing. Like, I've never had I have a backlog of games right now that just, it's more than staggering. It's ridiculous. Like, there's zero way that I could ever catch up with all this stuff. And I've still got new games coming out now. So, I totally get it.
Yeah. So I got to pick and choose and watch watch the most important, if you will.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
So, I did not watch the second episode of Irregulars. I just simply forgot.
I had to force myself to do it. And honestly, it was better than the first one.
Okay.
It was much better. Some of the characters came into their own a little bit. The mystery was much cooler. Like, it kind of reminded me of a real, X-Files type of thing, or, I don't know. It's still not great. It's definitely not great, but the second episode was better, and it kind of kept me going for now.
Did you watch the episodes of Staged you were supposed to watch?
Episodes 3 and 4.
And what did you think?
I love this show.
I do too.
I love the Nick Frost, Simon Pegg.
That was fantastic.
It was brilliant watching them all go back and forth, how nobody wanted to play David. At the end, we got the PS from them. And we got to see their names going in alphabetical order like last time.
Yep.
They were so glad that they didn't do it. And then the next episode, we had the fallout where basically Whoopi was like, you fucking convinced them not to do this because you were assholes. Yeah.
So the next two episodes are two-parters, so we should just watch 5 and 6.
Okay.
I know I just said I couldn't find time to watch shows this week, but I can make time for this because it's funny. And a lot of times I'll get in bed at night now and I'll watch like a half-hour show on my phone.
Nice. Because your wife has that rule that you're not allowed to have a TV in the bedroom.
Correct. So I'll watch like a half-hour show on my phone and it helps me fall asleep.
Nice.
And it also prevents me from snacking if I sit downstairs too long, so that way I don't get the urge to mindlessly eat. So
nice.
Let's see. This is
Amsterdam.
I didn't watch it. I just ran out of time. I tried, like, I wanted to, and I was like, eh. It just didn't feel the urge. How was it?
It was okay.
Yeah.
You know, problems. This time the overarching problem is that there's not enough blood. They've run out of blood. And
happens a lot.
Catastrophe away from, you know, running out. And so, you know, Max spends the episode doing different gimmicks, trying to get people to come in and give blood. And finally, this one woman's like, look, asshole. With COVID, we've given up everything. We've given up our houses. We've given up our free time. We've given up our jobs. We've given up our privacy. Now you're literally asking us to give up our blood. No, you can't take any more from us.
Yeah.
And he's like, fair enough, but we still need blood. And she's like, fuck off.
Well, fair enough.
Yep. And then there were other side stories, but.
The other show I did not watch this week was Lois and Superman.
I didn't either. Maybe it wasn't on. No, it is not. Remember, because it's on hiatus while Supergirl comes back. And
oh,
I definitely did not watch Supergirl.
I definitely did not watch Supergirl either.
Yeah.
Okay. Invincible.
Invincible.
I really, 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 really enjoy this show.
I do too.
Like, I want to read the comics, but I don't want to because I don't want the comics to give anything away, even by accident.
Right.
This was episode 2, Here Goes Nothing.
Which was a self-contained one, but also felt like it could have been an entire season arc the way that the aliens were portrayed, which I'll let you get into detail on. But
we basically pick up where episode 1 left off, which is Omni-Man's just fucking murdered Guardians of the Globe.
Yep.
But when the Global Defense Agency shows up, they find Omni-Man alive, everyone else dead. So they basically they try to save, you know, Guardians of the Globe there with alternative methods of resuscitation, and they can't bring anybody back. Omni-Man's in a coma for quite a while, and of course, while he's in a coma, the Flaxons show up, and the Flaxons are this, aliens that come through dimensional portals, and with Guardians of the Globe, MIA, and Omni-Man in a coma, because they haven't announced yet that they're all dead, Invincible tries to go and stop and save them, and he ends up really just basically killing this old lady. I mean, he injures her to the point where she just doesn't recover, but, you know.
He was trying to save her. Like, he grabbed her and then got blown away by a laser beam and landed on top of her.
Yeah. But the team show up, and they have a leader that's a robot, and they're fighting off the Flaxons. And when it looks like they're all going to die, the leader there, Adam Eve, she's okay with it because, you know, they did their best and they saved people. But then all of a sudden the Flaxons start to age, because that's what happens then when they're on our planet. They rapidly age. And so we see the Flaxons come back time and time and time again. They come back with wristwatches to stop them from aging. And once the team figures that out, they figure out how to destroy the wristwatches, so they start aging again. You know, they come back. They come back again, and the team's got to stop them again. And then they come back again. And each time they come back, they've got new technology. They've advanced themselves. They've figured out a way to try to defeat the humans, because for them, it's been a couple days. Yes. For the Flaxons, it's been decades, even though for us, if you will, it's been a couple days. But the last time they come back, their leader has a super suit, if you will, almost like a Hulkbuster suit, I'm going to call it, and is wiping the floor with Invincible when his dad shows up and destroys him, like wipes out them. And to the point where he flies back into the portal and goes to their world. And then literally, so far the theme of these episodes is at the end of both episodes, Omni-Man fucks shit up.
Yeah, the implication was that he sent them back to the Stone Age, but literally I think he eradicated them.
Oh, yeah, no, he committed genocide on that planet.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, he committed violent genocide on that planet.
And then made the last group of them who were alive open a portal for him to go back to his world as he held up basically a mountain over them and then flew into the portal and just let it fall slowly on them as they were like, yeah, we're fucking dead.
Omni-Man is probably the most sociopathic and psychotic superhero we've ever seen. And the sociopath part is because he's a everyday man who's a dad and got a kid and a wife and he loves his family and he's a hero and on, but whew. Mark recognizes the leader of the teen team, or he recognizes Adam Eve as a girl he goes to school with, Samantha Eve Wilkins.
Yeah.
And
she really went for a broke with the coach.
Yes. And basically, you know, he says, hey, I know who you are. I'm invincible. She's like, oh, I'm Adam Eve. And then they basically become friends and she kind of helps train with him. And they get along together very, very well. And so, of course, everyone at the school thinks they're dating. And there's a girl that's hot for Mark. And especially now that she thinks that Adam Eve is dating him. Mm-hmm. Omni-Man wakes up from his coma. He goes home. This is all before he goes and destroys the Flaxons. And there's someone coming to the planet. And so, you know, Alan the Alien or whatever it is. Alan the Alien, as we find out his name is. And so Omni-Man seems to know who he is. And he says, all right, go up there and take care of him. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So Invincible goes up and he's fighting the guy in the moon. He's like, hold on. He's like, oh, is this your timeout? What do you mean, is this my timeout? And essentially, like, Alan the Alien's like, oh, well, no, like, you asked us to come here. And we come, you know, and we come to test to make sure that there's someone there that can save your planet and defend it. And so this is the test you asked for. What are you talking about, the test? Well, isn't this Ureth? No, like, U-R-A-T-H. No, this is Earth. He's like, oh, shit, my bad. All right, man. Well, hey, I'll talk to you later. And I love how everyone makes fun of his name, Invincible. Invincible, that's not really accurate because you clearly are invincible, as I just defeated you.
Or they'll be like, wow, you're a little optimistic, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty optimistic with that name. I love this episode. I thought it was fantastic. I could, if they were all up there, this is one I would have no problem just kind of watching the whole thing.
Yes. Some of the guest voices in this one that I particularly enjoyed, Adam Eve was Gillian Jacobs. Rex Splode was Jason Mantzoukas. Always awesome.
The cast in this is out fucking outrageous.
Robot was played by Zachary Quinto beautifully. The Alan the Alien was Seth Rogen.
Yep.
The head of the government agency there was Walton Goggins. Awesome. And then the demon detective, who I can't remember his name, but he was fucking awesome with the classic trench coat and hat, was Clancy Brown.
Yes. And his basically, he showed up and he basically told them that Damien Darkblood, he says that one of the heroes was the killer.
Yeah. And he's basically like, yeah, there's no other traces of anything. Everyone was dead except for the one guy who was alive. And I'm telling you, nobody else was in or out. And of course, Walton Goggins, you know, he's not like defensive, but he says, dude, we've met plenty of supervillains who can turn invisible, who can teleport in and out. And he's like, yeah, I know all that. And none of them were here. Trust me. I know.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens because they didn't come out and say, oh, well, Omni-Man did this. They just said, hey, one of these people did it. And I guess full faithfully could believe that Omni-Man killed the guy who did it and got stove up himself.
Right.
So.
Love this show. I really do.
Yeah, I dig it a lot as well. Let's see what else. What else do we got?
We've got Debris.
That was a good episode as well.
It was. This one was the episode where we get back to the main villains. You know, everything else has been pretty much like a monster of the week. And then there's like the main villains are kind of in the background here and there.
Yep.
This one was straight up. These are the villains.
Yeah, these are the bad guys. We're going to deal with them. We still had some tension there between Brian and Fanola over trust.
As they're both pretty much figuring out that, you know, each of them knows what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yes. Let's see here. The influx, they somehow open up a wormhole that makes a bus suck, like a, that eats up a bus and takes it from New Jersey to Boston or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Outside Boston, Mass.
But doesn't do it like safely. It like
comes out,
twists and wraps around and people die a lot.
And the one guy that lived, they like dragged him off, Influx did, and like, I don't know, took samples from him and then shot him in the head and everything.
Yeah.
And basically it looks like they're trying to do this, make this wormhole with New York City. So the whole episode is based on finding out the little clues about it, how they do it, where they set the debris up, how they link it together. So we, and that eats up a lot of the episode of them figuring it out. But of course, in the end, you know, they prevent the them from doing it. They prevent Influx from doing it. A couple of Influx members there. One of the members that we've seen gets killed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it looks, and there's also this video file from China that Brian is like, hey, there's this video from this incident in China. It might be up there. We should try to find it. And then, you know, Fiona asks her handlers about it, and it's been deleted off the thing. No one knows who deleted it. CIA blames MI6. MI6 blames CIA. However, Fiona manages to get a copy of it. And the courier I recognize. I've seen him in so much stuff. He usually plays a bad guy. But tells her not to trust her handler, that she's not being honest with her.
Because, you know, you can't trust anybody ever.
Yep. Yep. And the video is what shows them how they are setting up the debris to make this wormhole work. So.
Hmm. I also like with this show how the closing credits always have, like, radio chatter from when they first saw the debris coming, when the...
Yes.
Alien ship was first crashing through the atmosphere.
Yeah, I enjoy that as well. I'm a pretty big fan of this show, so I fully expect to get canceled by the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not what's its face there manifest. So yeah, I fully expect that it is going to be.
Yeah, it's not shitty and terrible, so it's not going to renew this one.
Yep.
Not to be a constant negative Nilly Debbie Downer, whatever you want to call it, but that's just the reality of things. Resident Alien, season finale.
I was waiting, yeah.
I love this freaking show.
I do too, and I'm so glad that it has been renewed already.
Yeah. So, right at the opening, we have Alan Tudyk Carey doing a voiceover talking about humankind and murdering people and how people think they can get away with it and on and on and on. And he's saying this all over a flashback of the real Harry, quote unquote. And you must have felt vindicated when you saw that the real Harry is the one that poisoned Dr. The Sam's insulin.
Mm-hmm. Which I called early on. I love that.
You did. You did. And then, you know, the Harry voiceover is talking about karma. And karma coming back to get people. And the karma in this case was Harry being the real Harry being killed by alien Harry and then alien Harry taking real Harry's form.
Right.
Darcy had found the dead body in the freezer the ninth episode. So the sheriff and his deputy show up and Harry's, you know, alien Harry had taken the body out of the freezer and hit it. So they end up arresting Darcy and hauling her off. Liv finds the boot in this lake, you know, and so they need the foot to try the boot. And that's how Asta finds out that alien Harry killed real Harry because she saw the mole on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get this big, long conversation alien Harry has with corpse Harry. About why he hasn't pushed the button yet. Cause like, he's going to push the button and destroy all humanity, but then there's a pizza advertisement. So he decides to go to the new pizzeria to get all these pizza. And by the way, that pizza did not look good at all.
No, it did not.
That pizza looked terrible. Like terrible pizza. But he pushes the button because we learn that he can push the button and not start the destruction clock down, which is like 90 minutes or whatever, but he could direct the power to disintegrate objects that he wants it to, including real Harry's body, to finally get rid of it so it can no longer be found. It's disintegrated.
Yep. Which at first it looks like he's not going to, because he gets interrupted, but then he goes right back to it.
Yep. And then Asta shows up at this house after she finds out about the foot and confronts Harry, and he admits that he killed the doctor, and she's mad. So she says that we're not friends anymore. And he's like, what do you mean we're not friends anymore? I need you to be my friend. Like, I only have these emotions and feel this way because of you. And because he's hurt and angry, he pushes the button.
Yep. And sets off a 90-second or a 90-minute timer.
Yep. So... Lisa and David, the government agents.
Oh my God, this was great.
Dude. So they kidnap Sahara and take her hostage, and then go confront Max because they want Max to tell them who the alien is.
Which, I'm just going to pause you for a second there.
Yeah.
Now, people who've been listening to this podcast for a while, you included, know that the one thing that usually turns me off quicker than anything in a show, aside from awkward humor, you know, the Michael Scott type humor, is kids, you know, because they always write kids so poorly. They're always such assholes. I love these two kids.
These two kids are fucking fantastic. Great. Yes. Yes.
So continue. Yeah.
So they are. So, this is fucking amazing. So Lisa and David are in the house with Max, and they got Sahara, and they're basically like, you tell us what's going to happen or we're going to kill your mom. Mm-hmm. And mom's upstairs running on the treadmill. Well, she shows up and they pull a gun and they throw her in the pantry and lock her in, and they're going to kill people if they don't tell them. And then finally, Max tells them who the alien is. But we don't see it. We just know that he did.
Right.
Well, Dad shows up, the mayor.
After he shows up, Darcy kissed him. Like, they had a little moment on the bench and she kissed him, and he's like,
That's right. Cause they used to date when they were kids and teenagers, and they had sex together and everything in high school and everything.
They had the sex.
So anyway, so he's showing up home and he's kind of rehearsing how he's going to tell his wife what just happened, cause he wants to be honest. Well, he looks through the window and he hears his wife screaming. He says Ben and Katie, Lisa and David with the gun, and the kids and everything else. So he calls the police, and Big Black and Deputy Liv are going to show up. And then David's like, I got to do something about it. Mom breaks out of the closet and comes charging at them. And Lisa pulls her gun. And then Ben shows up and fucking clobbers her with something. And then Ben and Katie proceed to beat the ever-living shit out of Lisa and David, hitting them with frying pans, with lamps, with, everything they can find. I mean, they kicked the shit out. In a hilarious way, well, some lovey-dovey
it was
song.
Spend the Night Together.
Yeah, Spend the Night Together is playing. Oh, my God. And it was an extended scene.
Uh-huh.
It didn't just happen for a split second. I mean, this was a good 2-minute scene. It was amazing. Amazing television.
Mm-hmm. It was fucking great. And then, of course, you know, they're feeling great after that.
Oh, of course they are. So, you know, the agents flee. And Ben and Katie start making out. And then the police show up. And they're basically making out, like, hardcore kissing each other. And, like, I love Big Black's dialogue with it, or narrative of it, which is like, you guys literally have a room upstairs. Come on. Yeah. Your kid's right here.
You have a kid.
You got to get the tongue all the way to the back of his mouth. Like, I love the dialogue with it. So cut to, you know, Max calls Asta's dad. And basically, and he delivers the message to Asta, which is that Harry is there to kill them, kill them all. And he knows he is. So Asta and Max, because Sahara's mom picks her up, they head out to find Harry. And where would they find Harry? Well, he's going to be looking for his spaceship. In the meantime, the two agents go and grab Dr. Stone and bag his head because Max told him the town doctor was the alien. So they go kidnap the town doctor.
Weren't you waiting for him to be an alien after all?
I was waiting for him to be something. Yes. There was something about him. And when they bring the town doctor to the general basically orders Lisa to kill David.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to do it. I kept waiting for the general to say that Lisa was her daughter. That's why they're both fucking crazy. And the general basically admits that everything they've been doing and everything she's doing off the books, because if it was, then they wouldn't have the alien.
Right.
And she's going to kill him until some people walk by across the street and she's like, all right, kill you later. And she leaves him alive.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry goes and gets his bunker, gets his ship. We get a great scene of him getting on the ship and then fighting off the soldiers. And then Asta and Max showing up and the soldiers bringing them out, basically saying, we're going to kill them if you don't do something. So Harry lands his ship and he exits in full on alien form and saves them, the day. I like how Asta convinces Harry to spare humanity.
Yes.
And he's like, you're going to come with me and we'll kill this planet together. No, we're not going to do that. Fine, I won't do that. But I guess I got to get going, seeing how this is going to go off in 80 seconds. Yeah, you need to leave. Okay. Oh, hey, by the way, there's some pizza at my place. You're welcome to have it if you want. Thanks. You need to go. So he gets on a spacecraft and he's flying away. And oh, let's hear something else important he discovered. He can't be on the planet while he sets off the device because it's not supposed to disintegrate anyone of his kind, but it hurts him when it's still active, disintegrating Harry's body. And he's found out he's been human for too long.
Yep.
So, but as you, this part you missed, which is he's flying away on his planet. He jettisons the bomb. It explodes in outer space. Everybody's safe. And he hears a noise and he turns around and there's Max hiding out on his spaceship because he ran to hide. And that's where he ran to hide from all the guns and everything. Mm-hmm. And Max goes, you are going to take me home, aren't you? And I love Harry's response of, this is some bullshit. I love this show.
Yes. Can't wait for the second season.
I know. I'm very excited about the second season already. Very excited about it. So. What we got left? Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yes.
All right. Did you watch any movies?
I watched 1, 2, 3, 4 and 2 half movies.
Oh, wow. You're way ahead of me. I watched 3. Sorry. I watched 3 movies. One movie I kind of half watched.
Okay.
Death Wish 1974.
Okay.
I threw it on as a way of like, all right, I'll just put this on while I'm doing this and I'll go to bed soon. I'm not going to finish watching it. And then I did end up watching it all and I don't need to watch that ever again or any of the sequels. I have no intention of watching any of the sequels at all ever.
Sounds good.
Yeah. What was the 2 half movies you watched?
So the first one was on Netflix is a documentary called Not a Game, and it's supposed to be about the evolution of video games and the competitive nature of, esports and stuff like that. Normally that'd be right up my alley, but I was watching it. I didn't like it. It was annoying. They had some very outdated mindsets in there about people raging and being violent in games and they did go later on and somebody was like, people think that people play video games and they become violent. But what more studies have shown is that people are violent and those people play video games. I'm like, you're fucked up in all your methods here. And over half of it was done by foreign camera crews with foreign people. So it was like you had to be paying attention to the subtitles and everything. It wasn't a very enjoyable documentary. So I stopped watching. The other one was this past weekend when I was dog sitting with my girlfriend and we were trying to come up with something to put on for a movie or something to watch. And she's like, she suddenly, you know how sometimes you'll get like an idea in your head and then it's all you can think about. She wanted to watch The Notebook and I've never watched it. She's like, well, if you've never watched it, you say you're a romantic. And I was like, yeah, I am a romantic, but it's The Notebook, Nicholas Sparks. So we sat down and watched The Notebook and we got about, I'd say half an hour in and I told her, I was like, I'm not trying to be mean.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Had she ever watched it before?
Yes, several times. But like, I told her, I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying what I'm noticing. And she's like, no, honestly, like, this is the first time that I've ever noticed this stuff too. So have you ever watched this movie?
I have not.
Okay. It's fucking horrible. So the first scene, of course, is the old folks home. And, you know, he's going in to talk to her and keep going with this story that he's been telling her. And he's like, so it was 1942 and, you know, it was the fair and Noah met her there for the first time. And basically, we get to see Noah and his friend, and his friend, like, wins a small stuffed animal, and he sees this group of girls, and he's like, hey, what's your name? Hey, check you out. All right. And then walks 5 feet away and sees his girlfriend and says, hey, baby, I just won you a prize. Like, how is that acceptable?
It's not.
No.
Excuse me.
Even Julia was like, wait a minute. She's like, what a scumbag. How is that possible? So, and this is just the first scene where we get to see the young versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Gosling's character walks right over to Rachel McAdams, who is with a group of her friends, including one guy that is clearly her boyfriend or she's on a date with because he's got his arm around her. And they just got off a ride, and he walks right up and gets like 2 inches from her face. And he's like, hey, you want to dance with me? And she's like, no, I don't. And he's like, why not? Come on. You should dance with me. And she's like, I'm with somebody. And he's like, so you should be with me instead. And he's just this very aggressive guy. And then he does it again later. He friggin' accosts her while she's on the Ferris wheel. Like, her and her date are on the Ferris wheel. And he grabs hold and he's hanging from the metal bars. And the guy who's operating the Ferris wheel is like, you gotta get out of there. We can't have three people in the seat. And he's like, okay. So he's hanging from the metal bar. And he's like, go on a date with me. And she's like, I'm with somebody. And he's like, so? Ditch him and go on a date with me. And she's like, no, I'm not going to. He's like, then I'm going to drop. And he like lets one arm go, and he's just hanging there by one arm. And he's like, if you don't go out with me, I'm going to kill myself. And she's like, fine, I'll go out with you. And he's like, okay, do you mean it? You have to mean it. You can't just say that. I want to know that you mean it. She's like, I mean it. I'll go out with you.
Garbage, dude.
He's a piece of shit. And I said that. I'm like, this guy is a piece of shit. And she's like, you know, honestly, he is. She's like, I guess I never really realized back when I was watching it, but yeah, this is garbage. Like, if that had been later on in the movie, like if we had established that he was, you know, just brain damaged or something, maybe it would have made a difference. But my God, I'm watching this and I'm like, this is date rape. Like, this is not romantic. This is a stalker, and an aggressive one at that. Like, they show little montages and they're like, they didn't always get along, and they're like beating on each other, like hitting each other and slapping each other around. And then he grabs her and wrestles her to the ground, but they always made up and they start kissing. And I'm like, no, this is assault. What the fuck? So yeah, we didn't end up watching all of that.
Can't say I blame you on that one.
Yeah. So what's another movie you watched?
Well, I think the other movies I watched are the same movies that we both watched, if you will. I don't know, maybe. Did you watch Unhinged?
Or did I
you did. Lose power? All right.
Nope.
What did you think of Unhinged?
I thought that Russell Crowe was rather overweight.
I wonder if he really is that overweight, or if that was like a fat suit type thing.
No, he's gone back and forth, because I know that there have been people out there that have made fun of him when he, you know, gets like that. But yes, he was definitely that weight. It was a very aggressive movie.
It was very intense. I enjoyed it because it was just kind of different and a departure from what most stuff is out there.
Right.
Basically,
he was not a serial killer. He was just a road rage asshole.
Well, I mean, it opens up with him murdering his ex-wife and her boyfriend at their house because
just murdering them.
Oh,
whoa. He goes up to murder them with a hammer and a 5 gallon jug of gasoline.
Yes. Yeah. So he murders them and then sets the house on fire.
Yeah.
And then there's a road rage incident. And he tries to talk to this the woman and be like, hey, we both said some things we shouldn't have. We both have some aggressive feelings. Maybe we can forgive each other, move on. And she's basically like, fuck you, buddy. And so he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make sure you have the worst day you've ever had in your life. And I'm going to murder people around you and in your family and torture you. And
now remember, he didn't just say all that to her. He said it to her son. Like, he
pulled up
alongside and accosted her son, and he's like, I don't even get a courtesy tap. You know what that is, boy? Curtis tap. It's just you hit your horn like this, and he goes tap tap tap. So it's like honk honk honk, just kind of wake them up and let them know that you know you've noticed that they're not paying attention. I don't even get one of those. No, your mama, she's gonna have the worst day of her life.
Well, yeah, and then he delivered. I don't want to give it away, quite frankly. I think people should go watch it.
Yeah, it was
on Amazon Prime. Aggressive. Yeah,
it was highly aggressive, and like you said, way beyond what I expected.
Me too. And he legit is unhinged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good because it's different. That's why I like it so much.
Exactly. Yes. It's unique. I did enjoy that.
The other movie I watched was Godzilla vs. Kong.
As did I.
And again, I don't know how much we should say because it's only been out for less than a week on the Amazon Prime and I mean on the HBO Max. And I read a thing today that said, you know, in the first week of Zack Snyder's Justice League, 2.2 million people started watching the movie, but only 800,000 or so actually have finished watching it within the first 7 days.
Yeah, that's so a lot. I mean, granted, it's a 4-hour movie, but come on.
Yeah. So I don't really want to give away Godzilla versus Kong too much, but in this movie, Kong is definitely portrayed as the babyface and Godzilla the heel. The bad guy, if you will.
I think that's a safe description.
You know, for the majority of the film, we're seeing it from the Team Kong side of things, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I enjoyed it. It was what I expected. I didn't expect, an Oscar-worthy masterpiece. It's what I expected. It's a kaiju big battle movie, you know?
And they really didn't skimp on the kaiju or the big battle. They kind of went that route rather than character development or anything, which I think is great. Like, these type of movies don't need a lot of character development. They don't need a lot of human interaction. That's why everybody hated the first Godzilla remake, was there was too much human and not enough Godzilla.
And we didn't see Godzilla forever in the movie, which is why when Kong came out, the very first fucking thing you see practically is Kong.
Yes.
On the screen. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I enjoyed the hell out of the movie, though. It's exactly what I expected it to be. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be. So I wasn't disappointed and I wasn't let down or I wasn't surprised. I mean, this is what I expected and this is what I got. So it was a win-win for me.
Yeah. Yep. I would say the same thing. Like, especially if you take out most of the human characters.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it. There were some human characters that I enjoyed. A lot of them I did not. I will say this without spoiling it. The kid that was with Millie Bobby Brown, who played the flaming kid on Deadpool 2.
Yep.
Could have done without him at all.
Yeah, he didn't do much for me. There was one particular character that she got what she deserved, and I giggled.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
And there was one particular character that got what he deserved, and I giggled.
Yep. 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 So, I would give it a recommend. I mean, if you like Godzilla, you're gonna like this movie, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this is geared towards Godzilla. This is not Godzilla 1998 with fucking Matthew Broderick in New York City, where you watched it.
Which was Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah, that was Jurassic Park, basically. It wasn't that, that's for sure. So
was that it for movies for you?
That's it for movies for me.
Okay. So both of these were with Julia this weekend. One of them was one that she highly recommended that I had never seen before, which was The Devil Wears Prada.
That's been out a while.
It was very enjoyable. I think at this point I don't need to go into a hard sell. I think that anybody who's seen this will agree that, you know, it was a good movie. If anybody who hasn't seen it, well, that's your loss. Stanley Tucci is a fucking gem, and this movie made me look up and be very sad that I could not find on any streaming service Undercover Blues because all I could think of was Stanley Tucci as Muerte. It means death. And I couldn't find it on any streaming service. So that kind of sucked.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to find a way to get a digital copy of it or something and introduce her to that at some point, because that's a great movie. And then we were looking for something else to watch after The Notebook failed, and we're going back and forth, and she wanted something that was like, she wanted something that was suspenseful, but not a horror, but like not lighthearted. And we're just, you know, we're scrolling down through my movies, and we ended up going with the 1990 something classic Idle Hands.
Oh, I haven't seen that in forever.
One of Jessica Alba's first big screen roles. She'd been in a few small screen things,
yep.
But Devon Sawa, Seth Green, yep. Fred Willard, I had forgotten, was mm-hmm. the dad right in the very beginning. You know, that's one of those movies that it is great, but it gets worse the longer the movie goes on. Like
yep.
in the beginning, it is so good and it is so much fun. And then towards the end, it's almost like they tacked on the ending with the school dance and the auto shop and the bong hit puppet thing. But yeah, most of this movie was a Sam Raimi kind of thing, and I fucking adored it.
Nice.
So, yeah. So then there were 7 trillion trailers this week.
Whew, yeah, you shared a few trailers.
We don't have to, like, dig into too much detail, but I will say, like, we got the full trailer for that Shadow and Bone series on Netflix,
yep.
which I will check that out. I'm hoping it's not like The Irregulars, where it looks better in the trailer, and then you watch the show, and you're like, oh. Definitely looks like it could potentially have the teen love vibe going.
Yeah, it does.
One that I really enjoyed watching was the trailer for The Bad Batch.
That looks excellent. Yep.
Yep. Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I'll definitely watch the hell out of that. That's
no I thought doubt. You might be. It does look good. You know, is it a Jigsaw copycat? Is he back? You know, good stuff.
There's some questions to be answered. That's for sure.
Yep. The Mitchells versus the Machines, which is a Netflix animated movie from the guys who did Enter the Spider-Verse.
That looks amazingly awesome, funny, fun movie. Just
absolutely.
Fun.
And that's something you can watch with your kids, I bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of. Oh, great. A nice family movie to watch some Saturday afternoon while Kate's baking and we can stay out of the way. And yeah.
Yeah. There was one that I sent you. It's called Things Heard and Said.
I'm trying to remember that one now. We've had so many trailers.
It's Amanda Seyfried.
Yes. Yep.
It looks okay. It's a Netflix movie. But what looks really good was the trailer for Loki.
Yeah, the Loki trailer looks like a lot of fun. I'm pretty pumped about it.
It looks so good. I love the part where he's like, Loki, I've literally studied everything that you've ever done. You've stabbed people in the back like 17 times. And he's like, well, I won't do it again.
Shrugs his shoulders like, believe me? No, I don't believe you.
The great thing about this is that we're going to have the Time Bureau thing, and we're going to have some definitive answers about the alternate timeline that he has created.
Yes, we are.
Grabbing the Tesseract and disappearing with it. So, yes, awesomeness. More to feed into the multiverse.
And he has to go correct what he did.
Yes.
That's what's also key. He has to go correct what he did. And Owen Wilson, I mean, it's Owen Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, when I say that, like, he's acting like Owen Wilson. This is Owen Wilson.
He's Wedding Crashers, Owen Wilson. And,
yeah.
Then we got a dump because it was First Contact Day the other day. So we got a dump of Star Trek stuff, which, by the way, there was no trailer, but we got the first view of the animated Nickelodeon Star Trek show that's going to have Kate Mulgrew reprising her role as Janeway.
Okay.
That looks great. It was just a picture, but
okay.
It was cool. I think it's called Prodigy, Star Trek Prodigies. So we got a teaser for season 2 of Picard. He's sitting there quoting and talking about time and how time is the enemy. And time won't allow us to do this and time will allow us to do that. And I'm just like, oh God, are we going to do more time travel? I love it. And the very last scene of it is there's one playing card on the table in his chateau and it's a queen and it disintegrates except for it leaves one cue. And then we hear John Mulaney's voice.
Yep.
John Mulaney's voice.
I know who you meant. I thought that was a pretty – the whole trailer itself, I was like, yeah, okay. And then the other – ooh, that's a strong ending.
What did he say? Like, the trial never ends?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Q's coming back. I wonder if he'll be, like, overarching for the whole season. I would love that. I would love to see, like, a buddy cop kind of thing with Q. Oh,
that would be great.
We got a very extended trailer for season 4 of Discovery.
Yeah, that was a long-ass trailer that didn't really show us a whole lot other than they get into some hijinks and that Michael is clearly the captain.
Yes, they call her captain at one point. But apparently there's some kind of an anomaly that is like, what they say, like 7 light years wide.
Five light years wide, I think it was, or something like that. Yeah.
And they have no warning when it'll show up, where it'll show up, what it's going to do. So, dun, dun, dun. And we also got season 2 of Lower Decks trailer.
Which is, yep. If you like the first season, this trailer looks great.
Yep. I was very interested, and I imagine you were too, in the trailer for Woman in Motion.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize any of that. And that looks so outstanding.
So it's basically a documentary talking about how NASA originally was only white men. They wouldn't take women. They wouldn't take colored people. And Nichelle Nichols, of all people, said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to fix this. And she is the one who got this all to turn around. They said basically the fact that there are women, the fact that there are black people in space is because of Nichelle Nichols. And so there to see this.
NASA apparently hired her to go recruit people.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
And I also sent you a trailer for Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street.
A documentary about the creation of Sesame Street. I'm sold.
Yeah. I knew you would be. You didn't even have to watch the trailer. I didn't have to watch the trailer.
No, I mean, I did, but yeah, I'm sold.
But it was so fucking cool seeing, just in those little clips, seeing, you know, Jim Henson and Frank Oz and, oh.
As Bart and Ernie, yeah, and everything else. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
And then it was a trailer, but I had to include it here because it's not a trailer, but it's a trailer. And that was that we got the honest trailer for the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was fucking great.
It was pretty spot on.
I love how he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. We're just going to play a clip of all the times they say mother box in this.
Yeah. Mother box, 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 mother box. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have people are trying to hashtag bring back the Snyderverse. But DC has said it's never going to happen. And then they even announced that a couple of the projects that were kind of spawned off that Snyderverse for movies like The Immortals and a couple of those have been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash is still going through. They are going to try to retcon the DC universe, if you will. Like, they're going to try to continue to connect the future movies. Oh, except the Batman one, the new Batman movie. That's not going to be.
Because that takes place on Earth 2.
Yeah, that'll be Earth 2. But they are going to try and keep some sort of universe together with the movies going forward. And they've assigned Henry Cavill to play Superman in 2 more films.
Yep.
I liked Henry Cavill as Superman, so I'm not upset about it.
Nope, me
either. And allegedly they're going to film the movies back to back. So they're going to film everything all at once. So we will.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens and what they do with it. There's been talk of, I always say his name wrong, the Ms. Mystic or whatever.
Mr. Mixyus Pidlick.
Thank you. Mike is going to be involved somehow.
Nice.
So, and, I knew you'd say it correctly. That's why.
Along those lines, Ray Fisher has now done another interview where he was much less cryptic and much more open about everything that was wrong and said things like that Joss Whedon threatened Gal Gadot's career and he wouldn't take notes on his rewrites. And Ray Fisher says that he doesn't believe that the people in charge at Warner Brothers should be in charge, that they're capable of doing their jobs. And it was generally, I didn't see the interview, but I was reading the notes from it, and yeah, he's very pissed.
Yep.
Oh. News, I don't have a lot.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, my news was Superman. Do 2 more Superman films, yeah.
I sent you that thing where they're bringing the vintage Star Wars stuff to...
As yeah, to Disney Plus, like yep. the Ewoks films and yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I think so. I mean, the Ewoks films should be on there, you know? Yeah.
They also announced at the same time that they were, it's not movie and TV related, but that they're reprinting some of the legacy books that were in the expanded universe that are still not going to be canon, but, you know, like the Timothy Zahn books and those type.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool. But again, they're just being reprinted. They're not like updating them.
Right.
Rick and Morty had a trailer for their next season and it comes out June 20th. I'm super stoked. It's going to be awesome. And then this one is interesting. So Netflix is creating a thing called Steps. It's an animated musical spin on Cinderella. It says Amy Poehler and her Paper Kite Productions have yet another Netflix title on the way. Steps, an animated musical described as a spin on the classic Cinderella story. Unlike traditional Cinderella adaptations, this story focuses on the stepsister characters. But here's a twist on the formula. This time, it sounds like the stepsister characters are the heroes and won't be portrayed as wicked and mean as they appear in most tellings of the classic fairy tale that's been adapted several times before. Poehler will produce the film, which is written by Ricky Lindholm and directed by Alice Tuzi. Lindholm and Kate Micucci, also known as Garfunkel and Oates, will create the film's music.
Okay, I can get behind that. I like Garfunkel.
Yeah. So apparently this takes place after... So it says, in a spin on the classic, two stepsisters are overlooked for marriage by the prince and embark on an epic journey, realizing that their own perfect fairy tales might be different from what they originally thought.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah. That's all I got for news.
So I guess we're just down to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
So if you don't want to hear about it, we'll talk to you later. If you do want to hear about it, well... We're going to talk about it.
So this was third episode of six.
Power Broker.
I will not just sum up this episode, but I had one of the guys in my D&D group sent me a message and he's like, hey, are you watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier? I was like, I am, but I haven't seen the most recent episode. So I'd only seen the first two. And he's like, what do you think so far? And I was like, I enjoy it. I don't love it, but I enjoy it.
Yep, sure.
And after this episode, I feel similarly. Like, it is not bad, but it is not like WandaVision I was like craving each week. I was like, oh, what are they going to do? This one, I'm more like, I get done with an episode and I'm like, okay, cool.
So, yeah. The opening, they go see Helmut Zemo because they said they were going to, right?
Correct.
And then they determine that they need him, or Winter Soldier does. Bucky does, that they need his help to stop the Flag Smashers. Mm-hmm. And so Bucky proposes to Wilson, to Sam, that, hey, how about we break him out of prison? And he's like, well, how would we even do that? And I love this scene as Bucky, you know, relays, all right, this is what we could do. It explains the whole process of how they would create a prison riot and set off the fire alarm and all the steps they would take to break Zemo out of prison. And we see it happening. And you don't know if you're actually watching Zemo break out of prison or you're watching, like, you know, a role play of Bucky explaining what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Until, you know, Wilson's like, well, it seems like you've thought an awful lot about this. And where the hell are we anyways? And then Zemo walks in. Like, so I dug that pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was brilliant.
And then the trio head off to Madripoor, which, from what I've read, is very important because that is from the X-Files, X-Men universe.
Well, it's from all of Marvel, and it was kind of a, you know, it was a basic hive of scum and villainy, but a lot of X-Men mission, a lot of X-Men comics went there. Logan had a whole different persona while he was there. Patch, the guy with the eye patch. So yeah, a lot of X-Men stuff took place there. So that's why it seems like it's more of an X-Men thing.
Okay, fair enough. That does make sense. And well, who'd they run into while they were there?
They run into Sharon Carter.
And why do you think Sharon Carter wasn't given a pardon when everybody else was? After, you know, because all she did was get Cap's shield and Sam's wingsuit. Mm-hmm. So why is she still, you know, public enemy number one in all this?
I think she wants to be public enemy number one. I think she enjoys it. I think she likes the thrill.
I think she's the power broker.
I do too.
In the comics, the power broker was two different characters and they were guys, but I think Sharon Carter is the power broker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that she enjoys it. And I think that that's why she likes to mess around with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because we find out in this episode from a criminal in Madripoor, you know, right before she's killed, that the power brokers who hired a former Hydra scientist to recreate the super soldier serum. And he had actually almost completely recreated it. And then he got poofed out of existence for 5 years because of the blip. Mm-hmm. And now he's back and he made the serum. And before he could deliver it to the power broker, that's when the Flag Smasher stole 20 doses of the serum.
Yep.
So now there's bounty hunters that are looking for the three of them. And so they're trying to find the scientist and try to find what's happening and try to find an antidote, if you will. And there's lots and lots of fighting going on. And, but they all work together. And basically Sam agrees to help Sharon try to get a pardon for her. But she stays at Madripoor and the trio head off to go to where'd they go? Lithuania or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or Latvia, looking for her. And at the end, we see Barnes. He realizes someone's following him and he goes and finds, is it Dora?
Oh, yeah.
The Wakandan at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And she's basically saying, yep, I'm coming for Zemo.
Yep. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the hell out of the episode. I thought it was really good. A lot of good action. But I'm right with you there. Like, with WandaVision, I was completely enthralled and couldn't wait for the next episode. And this, I'm excited for Friday to roll around so I can watch it. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have that same instant urge or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And I never come out of the episode thinking like, oh, God, I'm so glad I watched that. I'm just like, okay, that's over.
Yep. I never come out and go, that was so amazing.
Yep.
I do come out of it like, that was really good. Wow. Marvel's doing a great job with these TV shows.
Right. I thought Zemo was going to abandon them. Like, I thought that he saw
many times I did. Yep.
And was going to take off. And then he puts on the mask and blows up that pipeline so that there's a wall of fire. And I was like, oh yeah, he's going to take off. No, he goes and gets them a muscle car and picks them up.
Well, because Zemo's saying, and this is one of the things what Barnes said at the beginning, is that Zemo wants to stop the super soldier program. He doesn't think it should exist. Yep. And so Zemo's own personal, that's what makes a great villain. Cause a great villain believes what they think, no matter how crazy it is, no matter how outlandish it is, they truly believe it and they follow through on it.
Yep.
Cause to them it makes sense. And to Zemo, it's his urge to destroy the super soldier serum and, you know, anything of that nature. So,
yep.
Yeah. But no, I enjoy it. I enjoy the show thoroughly.
Me too.
But I guess that's it for me.
I think that's it for me as well. Like, there's nothing else on my list.
Same here, sir. Well, if that's it for me and then that's it for you, then I guess that's it for the episode.
Ooh, that is it, I guess.
So I will chitty chat with you all later. You can find me on the Twitter machine. I'm at Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's the show.
We'll talk. to you later.